Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 683 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today, May 15th, 2022. I am your host, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. And we've got a good show today, a good show ahead of us. I'm excited. Joined with a fabulous, maybe I should scale this back a little bit. A very nice group of hosts with me on the show. Robin Tate, fresh back from his trip to Mexico.
Hey, hi, I'm back. I got out. Thanks very much for telling the TSA to hold me up. They did.
You're welcome.
It's only the last couple of days that I've started to walk straight again. I'm back. I'm glad to be on the show. It's been 3 weeks, I think.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. I'm sorry, you've really enjoyed yourselves without me being here, I'm quite sure.
Show ran great.
Listened to last week's show there through the week and thoroughly enjoyed it. So well done. Cheers.
Yep, well done to you as well, making it back. We did have them stop you at the border, do a full body cavity search for smuggled Hershey's chocolate because we know you love it so much. Also on the show, I do not know where that's been. On the show, Kim Woods. Kim, howdy, howdy.
I have my girly beer, so.
Hey, please refrain from calling that girly beer because I quite enjoyed that the other night when I was at the movies. So there.
What?
Yes. All right. And also with some microphone trouble, but on the show, Phil Olson, Robin, I think Phil has a new job and I couldn't remember. You told me who he's working with now. I couldn't remember.
Steinberger Construction. So.
Steinberger Construction. So he is shifting his job duties. But we appreciate Phil being on the show. We also really appreciate the consistency of haircut Phil's.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's a universal thing from here forward. All right. We are a video game podcast. We love talking about video games. That's what brings us together. But we are more than just video games. So we do talk about life. We talk about things going on in our world. We do this every Sunday, 4 p.m. in the UK. Sorry, 4 p.m. on the East Coast, 1 p.m. on the West Coast. And out in the UK, it's 9 p.m., almost bedtime for some of you. And if you happen to be in the lowly central time zone, it's 3 p.m.
It is.
It is. We are on Twitch. We are on YouTube. You'll also get an audio recording of this podcast. So if you want to dance to the oldies and shake down with us that way, you can. I think we can just jump into, we have one birthday to talk about. Dave Avery, he is turning 83 on the 13th
there.
Of May.
Yeah, I think 13th. Yeah, we missed that last
week. We missed that birthday last week, but we're going to throw it in this week. So. Happy post-birthday. We'll give him a birthday shout-out anyway. Play him something.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Insert name here. Happy birthday to you.
Gentleman was not recognized.
All right, let's dive into some story time.
Hooray, story time. Hooray, story time. I'm so glad to be with you today.
All right, so since there's already a question in the chat directed to me, I figure I'll go first.
I'm not sure.
I want to say this right now. I literally have no Steam Deck updates to give you. And this was my fear with the one fear I had with the Steam Deck is it's not going to be a device I'm going to use terribly often. Ooh. And so I haven't really been playing with it. I literally have had, albeit very minimal time to play video games at all this past week. Work has been absolutely killing me. And on top of that, my wife left. She went out of town. So I am once again, she didn't leave me. She just left. So once again, I'm doing, you know, solo dad. So it just, it has not worked out for me in terms of the entire gaming space.
It's funny, but when I was listening to the show, when you were talking about your Steam Deck and you were talking about the outage of Xbox Live, and
it would have been the perfect time to play with my Steam Deck.
You said, oh, I was looking forward to playing games and I had nothing to play games with. And I'm going, is this frigging $500 piece of kit sitting there?
I know. It was literally sitting right next to me and I did not even think of it. Now, part of the reason for that was at the time my cheater glasses hadn't come in yet. So, because I'm going to, I have also come to the conclusion, my eyes, while I see fine with a lot of things, very close up, tiny screens like that, I think I'm going to need them. It's just going to be a requirement for me to use that.
Cindy has a pair of cheater glasses as well.
She never knows where they are. That was the problem. So I had to buy a set so I would always know where my set was.
He missed it, Kim, didn't he? He did miss that. Yeah,
I did. I did. Okay. But I have done other stuff. So I finished the Moon Knight series, Disney Plus. It's really good. I quite enjoyed Moon Knight. I was surprised. I really knew nothing about it. So I kind of went into it with, you know, a bit of a blank slate on that. And I was really pleasantly surprised by Moon Knight. I think it was a really well thought out series, a little bit short for my taste. I would have liked it to have been 7 or 8 episodes, but it was only 6 episodes. So, you know, it's not a huge time commitment, but it's really well done. I think that the main actor that plays the Moon Knight, I don't want to give anything away, but he does a really good job with the character of Moon Knight. And there are many facets to that character. I'm being coy about how I phrase this and say this because I don't want to give away spoilers. But he handles it brilliantly. And so I highly recommend Moon Knight. It was a real pleasant surprise kind of going in. Okay. I've been a little down on Disney, to be honest. A lot of the stuff that they've been putting out, I'm just kind of like, eh. But Moon Knight was a huge, huge win for me. And then I'm very much looking forward to Obi-Wan at the end of this month. I get some Rogue One vibes, which makes me happy. And then the Halo TV series. Yeah. So I'm now through episode 8. I'm enjoying it. I like the direction they're taking the series.
Let's get it on.
I don't want to say anything again. You're not spoiling anything.
What happened? You know. I know what happens, and I'm like, it's because
the internet. Yeah, the internet erupted.
Humans are bad
because apparently John erupted.
I think the morals of the story is the humans are bad. So,
it's not the moral of the story, but I think it is a justification being used within a certain story arc. Anyway, the bottom line is the Halo TV series. And what I like about it is it really is getting into the motivations and the actual humans behind the characters, which the Halo games have never really done. And I'm sorry for anybody that thinks that Master Chief is some deep character in the Halo games. You're just wrong. He is very much shallow character. Yeah. Well, yeah. And they purposely did that, I think, on a lot of fronts. It made it easier to develop.
Yeah, I think
they didn't have to.
Some of the most interesting things about Master Chief was his relationship with Cortana.
Yeah.
That was, you know, and that's more of this in that. Not to mention the relationship with Cortana. In fact, this episode as well, you're really seeing that switch, that come together.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it for people, but.
No. I like the relationship that they've built with Cortana in the TV series and how they've gone about that. I thought it was an interesting take and very different from what we have known in the games, but I think it aligns with what we know of the games ultimately. I also really like Halsey and her character and what they're doing with that whole relationship, because that is something that we never have had in the Halo games. You know, it has always been, for the most part, UNSC good and everything about the Spartan program good. And so it's a little different.
Yeah.
There's some question marks.
Yeah.
Love it. But anyway, so I'm looking forward to the final episode, and I'm kind of saddened that there's only going to be 9 episodes for the season. I hope we get season 2 soon, but I have a feeling that will be a good year or so out.
I'm glad they closed out one story arc, which I was just shoehorned in, and that whole thing was to create two characters that will appear again somewhere down the line.
Yeah, no doubt. My hope is that story arc will have some kind of actual payoff, because right now it doesn't feel like there's been a payoff.
Yeah, well, apart from two characters.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And again, we are very much circling around this. So if it sounds very cryptic, we're trying to be that way. We're not trying to spoil anything for anybody who hasn't seen it.
We'll do a spoiler cast shortly after the last episode airs next week.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of looking forward to that. I think, in fact, I think Nicole has raised her hand to join in for that. So I think that'll be a lot of fun. Oh, wow. Okay. So two more things. Watch last night A Quiet Place 2. So I had seen the original Quiet Place, and I liked it. It wasn't great. And I kind of fall on the same line with Quiet Place 2. It's good. It's not great. It's entertaining for what it is. I should point out also, I did start to watch the new Sandra Bullock movie that came out, that where she's in the jungle trying to find the artifact. I can't think of the name of the movie. Exactly. I'm about halfway into it, and I honestly switched it off to watch A Quiet Place 2. Wow. It feels very campy and kind of predictable. And there's one moment I should say that was very not predictable, in my opinion. But beyond that, it's not like it just is not winning me over. If you're looking for some kind of adventurous Indiana Jones-like movie, go see Uncharted. Hmm. That's my recommendation. Last thing. So I have been doing a lot of searching on YouTube for different chefs and just kind of watching videos of chefs making stuff. Chris, and I came across...
vegan, I'm going to kill you.
No. I embrace the bacon. Embrace the bacon. I came across... Let me find his name real quick. So... there's been a few different chefs that I have been watching and kind of enjoying their stuff. Where'd he go? Sam the Cooking Guy. Sam the Cooking Guy on YouTube. So he owns a restaurant. Sam the Cooking Guy is the name of the video channel.
And what's his name?
Sam.
Oh, okay.
Bastard. Anyway. So he does all these different cooking videos. And for the most part, it's a lot of simple recipes. But they're just like gooey goodness. Like I just saw he did a grilled peanut butter and jelly and bacon sandwich. Just simple munchy food, right? But he had a video on doing Detroit style pizza. And so I decided last night I was going to make a Detroit style pizza. And I am thoroughly pleased with the results of it. It's a little bit more of an effort than I kind of envisioned. I tried to cheat as much as I could to get my way through it. So I wasn't making my original dough, or I wasn't making dough from scratch. I actually bought some Pillsbury dough thin crust pizza, which comes in the little tube, but I bought three of them and I just mashed them all together and then let them sit out and kind of rise and the yeast to expand a little bit. And then I put it into a pan. You have to oil up the pan nice and use a generous amount of olive oil, because you basically want the olive oil to basically kind of crispy the underside and the sides of the pizza. And then, coat the dough on top with a little bit of a garlic paste and olive oil mixture. And then you put the cheese down, you put three stripes of sauce, pepperoni, and you put it in the oven on 500. So it's pretty, you're basically maxing out your oven, either 450 or 500, depending upon how hot your oven can go. And you cook it for about 15, 20 minutes. Just watch it. I was at 500 at 15. I probably could have pulled it a minute or two earlier. So I think 450 and 15 would have been more than fine. But it made a fantastic pizza. Three pieces and I was done. And they were just small little, but they're thick, very doughy, good stuff. Detroit style pizza. It's kind of won me over. I think it's my new preferred. It's not deep dish. Mm-hmm. It's different than deep dish. And it's kind of won me over. I really like it.
I will try this.
Yeah. So that's me. Kim, what's been going on with you?
same old kind of working, which I am told that this will be my last week of watching my nephews because apparently her friend's kids are getting out of school this week, and I think they're taking over, but I'm going to take that with a grain of salt because I've heard this shit before.
Yes.
Otherwise, the weather's getting warmer, so I got a chance to bust out my countertop ice maker, which when I first bought it, it was like $130. And
sorry. I didn't quite understand that. A countertop pacemaker.
No, ice maker.
Oh, okay.
Ice maker, yes. It's basically like the ice maker in your fridge, only it sets on your countertop. And let me tell you, because I bought a refrigerator without an ice maker because we had an ice maker and it broke. You've got to run like lines for water and stuff, and we didn't do that. So this seemed like a good option. And I have to say, for $130, I was skeptical, but in 2 days, I made close to 15 pounds of ice. So
very handy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, because see, Dad works in the, with Dad's job. He's in the field, and it's been like 100 degrees the last 2 days. So, of course, he needs a water jug with ice in it. So, yeah, I got her started.
You gave him 15 pounds of ice.
No. But I wanted to make enough ice ahead of time that way that thing wasn't running constantly all the time. So, that way we have
ice, baby.
Right? So, he's got like a water jug that's like, this tall, so. He needs ice. Anyway, we did the whole grocery pickup thing, and you might have seen this on Twitter because it was kind of hilarious.
Bananas.
And for some odd reason, the lady that picked out my groceries did not understand what a bunch of bananas was. When I got home, she did slightly better this time than last time, because last time I got one single banana. This time I got two bananas.
100% improvement.
Right?
So wait a minute. This actually happened before, where you got one banana when you asked for a bunch of bananas.
Yes. So apparently,
what is a bunch? Okay. I mean, to me, a bunch would be five or more.
Yeah,
I would think five or six. That's the bunch. But here's my quick question for you, Kim, and not to totally derail this, but I'm struggling with the concept here because you said you ordered your groceries online.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I would think there would be a quantity where you could say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bananas.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's a song, isn't it?
I know. I'm pretty sure it is a song. So do you put in more than like two on that quantity?
Well, I put one down on the deal, but I put, because you could put a note, and I put down, I want one bunch of bananas. Thinking, okay, they'll figure it out. Because I don't want to sit there and put like...
Now, Kim.
Right. Obviously, now, Kim, I
think this... I feel like we have besmirched your online ordering lady. But I feel like in some respects, you're one trying to skirt the system here a little bit. And I think that maybe she is justified in having given you just one or two bananas. Because I think you technically probably should have put in five for your quantity of banana.
Well, I wouldn't know.
Five bananas, you put in five bananas.
Now, wait a minute, though. When you go to the grocery store and say you're buying bananas, do you just go and buy one single banana or do you buy the whole bunch? I mean, when you think to yourself, okay, I need to buy a bunch of bananas,
argument, clearly, if I'm given a entry that says banana quantity 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever.
Yes, I get that. But I also attached a note saying I wanted one bunch of bananas. A bunch being like the one bunch of bananas, right?
Okay.
So I thought she would understand that, but obviously not. So I'm picturing this poor woman looking over like the other personal shopper and going, do you think this will work? Because she holds up two bananas and my little note saying a bunch of bananas. So I don't know. Whatever.
I envision her saying, oh, she's trying to skirt the system.
Probably. And I'm
And so she's like, she just wants to be charged for one banana and she wants me to give her six.
No, and that's not the case at all. But no, I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to buy one.
Banana gate. And I'm gonna, that's what this is. Right? Banana gate.
I'm going to pay for the whole bunch of banana, but whatever. So I guess from here on out, like you said, I'm going to have to just put, like, if I want, like, a bunch of bananas, I'll have to put, like, 5 bananas or 6 bananas or whatever.
Okay, so in technical terms, a bunch of bananas can equate to anywhere from 12 bananas up to 300.
Right.
Most bunches typically have 100 bananas. So if you haven't got a true 100 bananas, you may have complained.
I would like to point out the chat is asking you to continue to ask for bananas and buy bananas because they will get them free on Game Pass.
Now, there's possibly a shortage. Maybe they're being rationed in that part of the world, like baby milk and stuff like that there, and bananas. That
you never know.
Could be it. So, anyway. Dilemma. My goodness.
Wow. I now feel slightly bad for having besmirched your online person because I feel like maybe she wasn't necessarily over the line with her 1 or 2 bananas.
Do you know which operator it was?
Oh, yeah. Because she was.
Do you know the name?
I think so, yeah.
Could you find that out first?
Yeah, I can do that.
Because then I can contact the store and have a chat with her and find out what her definition of bananas is. We do a little interview. So if you can find that out for me and give me the name of the store, I'll make the call.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was all worried. But the thing of it is, going into this, I was worried that I put like 5 bananas, I would end up with like 5 bunches of bananas. So, you know, hence my, my note. But whatever, it didn't work. Okay, last but not least, I have a big controller, like, no-no, so I'm going to tell you a story and tell you not to do this because it didn't work for me.
Okay.
All right. Okay. I had the chat pad attached to my Elite controller, and like most of us, when you go to plug the headphones in it, it scratches. It's, you know. So usually that means you've either got dust or something in the headphone jack, right? Or either that or the headphone jack is going bad, one or the other. Well, I looked online to see if maybe there was a possible fix for that, right? All right, I found a YouTube video, and the guy used contact cleaner. He sprayed it on a Q-tip and put it up in the port and cleaned it and said it worked fine, right? So I tried it. Today I found out not only does my mic port on my chat pad not work, like I can hear the game, but my mic does not work. You can't hear me speak.
That's like all my stuff.
Mm-hmm. And the mic port on my Elite controller does not work.
Oh dear!
So don't do that, because apparently, even though the guy said it would work on his, it didn't. It didn't work on mine.
Now, did you clean both?
Mm-hmm.
So you clean the chat pad and you clean the Elite controller separately from one another.
Yeah, because both of them were scratching when you plugged in the mic plug. So I thought, all right, I'll clean them both. No big deal. Yeah, this didn't, the contact cleaner did not work for me. So
I
guess
you know his name.
I can look it up. But so that didn't work. So now I'm using a Turtle Beach mic adapter in the Elite controller, and that actually works, and I can use my headset and my mic.
Okay.
How much old stuff we have lying around is amazing.
I know, right? But yeah, that's just a word of warning. Do not use contact cleaner on your mic plugs on your controllers or your chat pads, because apparently that shit does not work. Apparently compressed air works.
See, Phil was nodding his head just now.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Compressed
air, always.
The glare off the top of that head is shocking.
It is a little disturbing. Air is a good call, Kim.
Yeah. I only found that afterwards. But it's a Series 1 Elite controller, and the back... triggers, one of them doesn't work right anyway, so I mean it's not a gigantic thing, and like I said with the adapter it all works. And eventually I think I'm gonna have to bump up on elites anyway, so
I think the lesson here is liquid with any electronics usually is bad.
But I figured, you know, with the Q-tip and all that, it wasn't like I was just spraying the port or anything like that, but for whatever reason it did not work for me, so just take that for a grain of salt.
I don't know, but in Electric Dreams, it seemed to work for him okay.
Pete had no problem with his... I won't even go there. Never mind. Never mind.
Let's not go there. It just got rusty.
Yeah. Anything else, Kim?
No, that's it for me.
All right. Robin, you clearly don't have a lot to talk about.
Not really. Keep it on the TV, the TV mode. Halo, thoroughly enjoyed it. But I also have watched the first two episodes of something brand new.
Oh, boy.
Which is a new Star Trek series called Strange New Worlds.
Boomer will be excited.
I'm curious. I almost fired it up last night. So is it like a regurgitation of the original Star Trek series? Because that's kind of what I thought it was going to be.
I didn't really know if they were going to make a real mess of it or not. And after watching the first episode, I giggled here and there. I had a laugh at it here and there. And it feels like the original Captain Kirk Star Trek. It feels the way they're telling the stories. It feels that childlike, not childish, but that simple storytelling. It was I just thought it was right on the nose. Really, really good. Brought up to date. Really, really interesting characters. Good spread of all types of people. And fan service, like Uhura, you know, as a young girl, she's starting out as a cadet on the ship, which is...
Is it Kirk all over again? Or is it
So, okay. Captain Pike, who it is, our guy from Justified, and
right.
So Captain Pike, all throughout the whole storyline, had the Enterprise first, and he had a horrible accident, and then it was handed over to Kirk, who was his junior or whatever it was at the time. So it is on the Enterprise before that. So that's where the timeline is. So,
so, this is what I had to understand.
So,
Boomer says no Pike. He says you are incorrect.
Oh, not
apparently.
Pike. Whatever his name is. Am I wrong, Boomer?
No, you're right.
Kirk's brother's on board. Samuel, yes, and he needs a red. Okay. He needs a red shirt because if it follows that storyline, he doesn't last that long. Yes, there's some interesting, like Spock, Mr. Spock is there, and some interesting characters. Really, I thought it was really... Not Pike?
I thought it was Pike. It is Pike. You're right.
What is the captain's name? Pike?
No, it is Pike. Okay, so it is Pike.
Yeah.
And Kirk's brother's on board.
Yeah,
well,
Kirk's brother
we'll move
and Spock's
forward.
On board and Uhura's on board. And yeah, there's one line in one of the episodes there at the end of the first episode where he says, "Well, what should we do now? You know, what should we do?"
Right.
He says, "Well, let's go out and discover strange new worlds and da da da."
Bold to go where no man's gone before.
Yeah, for the first time, sort of thing. And Uhura, the cut to Uhura, and she goes, "Cool." And you know, brilliant. So it is. So thoroughly enjoyed it. The second episode, So OG Star Trek done some really weird and funny, silly things, and the second episode is a wee bit that way as well. But it's still really good. I'm very optimistic that it's going to be class. So it started off really, really well. And I don't know how I got it. It just appeared. It's not available in the UK. Must be available in Mexico because I was...
It is available in Mexico on Paramount Plus.
I was able to watch it. So thoroughly enjoying that. That's really good. So big recommend there. So for new people that have never seen Star Trek or for Star Trekky fans like me, yes, very, very good fan service in there. One final thing I've been watching with Judith this week. It is on Netflix. It's a UK a courtroom drama called The Anatomy of a Scandal. It's a short series. It's about six or seven episodes. We've just got one to watch. Really, really good, about a politician who has an affair, who's accused of rape, but he's best buddies with the prime minister, and the barrister solicitor that's taking him to court has a background which is gets tied into it all as well. It's really, really, really good courtroom drama. So Anatomy of a Scandal, very, very good, and pretty probably cutting close to the edge of what actually happens in real life too. So this time last week I was just home from the US of A, and Judith and I were out by ourselves. We spent 4 days there and we had a fabulous time. Really, really good time out in New York. I want to quickly go through 4 really good things that we did. I'm not going to spend a lot of time.
Okay.
I'm going to bore people. And 5 really things that weren't so great. So the good things first. We the we went to Central Park on one of the first days and had a spent most of the day in Central Park in New York. If you've never been there, if you get a good day,
it's awesome.
Central Park is beautiful. It's so weird. You're walking around this beautiful, almost nature reserve, and all around the outskirts are these big, big skyscrapers, and it's a very, very interesting place. And there's all sorts goes on, from people doing exercising, picnicking, playing football. There was people twitching, watching birds and all that. We walked around all day. Yeah, exactly. There was bird twitchers. There's a whole group of people watching little birds, new birds. Oh, look at that one. And they're all out. They all had the same binoculars. Must have been a tour. So took some nice photographs there. If you look at my Facebook feed or Instagram, you'll see a lot of stuff that we did. We got pizza from a nice deli. We copped a squat in the middle of Central Park. We had our lunch there, and just it was lovely. Really, really nice. Walked the feet off ourselves over the few days. So that was a real highlight for me. Some of the stuff then that was really, really good. I booked a tour to do a tour of 9/11, the World Trade Center area. I had been there about a year, 6 months before it happened, and I was there about a year after. So the last time I was there, it was a building site with fence work around it, and it broke me up because the little church that survived wasn't touched. Funny, the tour guide was brilliant. He went into some personal experiences there and explained why the church wasn't damaged, because a big, big tree fell down and it managed to protect it from a lot of the blast. Anyway, in that church, a lot of the memorabilia was there, or pictures. Have you seen this person? It really hurt me. Big style.
It's pretty emotional. It's emotional to this day.
So then,
especially if you lived through it.
Absolutely. And all of us did at some stage or another, either in New York, around New York, or watched that second plane go live on TV, questioning ourselves. Yeah. Most of us seen that. So we did with a really, really good tour guide. He brought us around some really interesting stuff. Just like the two big pools around it. There's the names of all of the people who died in it. And it's in iron, and it's backlit. And around it, every now and again, there was a white rose. And the white rose was that person's birthday. And they put a white rose on that person's birthday. And then that night, they take them away. And the next day, they put another white rose. And I just, that got me big style.
Yeah.
Then we went, after the tour was over, we had access then into the museum. And the museum is underneath those two big pools where the two towers were. And in the museum, they've dug right down to the foundations where the original metal ironwork was. And it follows the complete size and shape of the two towers. And you can see the original foundations.
Incredible.
And then above it, about 20 feet above your head, is the start of the building. If you look at some of the photographs I have up there.
Kept the original footprint.
Yeah.
Very cool.
If you look just above your head, you can see there's one photograph of Judith sort of looking up and looking straight down at the girders. So that was it. There's a room that they have photographs of all of the almost 3,000 victims around there. Mm-hmm. They have a video room, which is on constant loop. You can just go in and sit for a while, and it shows their family, each member's family or friends, talking about that person just on a constant loop all the time, which is a lovely memorial to those people. And then some of the stuff that was really hard to look at, and some of the backstory, there was some firemen there, and there was one of the fire engines, and they showed real video footage from the day, and this fire engine, the whole back of it's all melted, and that particular fire truck, every member of that fire truck passed, was killed. How do you say it? It was fabulous and heartbreaking all at once.
Right.
I knew I wanted to do it. I choked up on many a time there. It was really, really hard. But if you're in New York and it means anything to you, or if you have kids that need to get that home to them, the whole area is beautiful. The tour guide, he turned around and said, look, they say that this is a really sad place, but we say it's a really positive place, that it shows that we have been through this, we've came together, we've got through this and made this a joyful thing, that we've recovered and went on. So that was good. So then after that, we went up, when it was all over, we went up the Freedom Tower, and we were out, the new tower that was there to the top floor. Fabulous. That was really, really good. Our hotel was fabulous. The first time we ended up, we were on the 46th floor. For a guy that doesn't go over 13 floors in any building in Northern Ireland, that's kind of the first time's kind of freaky. But you know, when a few days in, you're well worth it. But the thought of when the first time you go up and your ears pop going up in a lift, that's kind of freaky. But it was lovely. We were looking at, if you ever see the big skyscraper, the H&M building, we were looking straight down on Times Square. Fabulous spot that we were in.
So real quickly, Robin, to that. In Las Vegas, there is a casino. I want to say it's the Palms.
Okay.
At the top of the Palms, they have a nightclub. And in it, they have a glass floor that you could walk over and you're just literally looking down to the bottom. And I want to say it's the 50th floor.
I believe there's a new viewing deck. I think it's called The Edge, and the glass slopes out in New York now, and they have a big section of and it's all glass in one big room. It's all glass. We didn't do it.
Scared the shit out of me just to walk on it, just because the whole notion of, like, this is glass.
Yeah.
What if it breaks?
Yeah. It was a bit like when we were in the Grand Canyon and that deck, and it's a mile down straight below you. So that was cool. Then the food that we had, I mean, it was Cinco de Mayo, so we were recommended to go to Los Tacos number one. Chinny had recommended it, but I also heard that was the place to go for really lovely tacos. And there was, as I do, idea, you know, what you're ordering, really. There was a guy from Mexico there, he was in, and we got chatting, and he was saying, well, I want to see if these are, you know, I hear these are the real deal.
Right.
So he ordered, and we ordered, and we were standing there, and says, yeah, these are the real deal. This is as good as you get. This is, I know, so that's fantastic. Right. We went to Serendipity, which is the movie Serendipity. At the beginning of it, they go to a lovely cafe, and they have this thing called, it's a frozen hot chocolate.
Yep.
Okay.
And it's this big bowl with hot chocolate, which is frozen, dessert thing, $24. Crazy. Everything's $24. and that was nice because it was there, the Serendipity thing. And then one of the highlights is food-wise was Cat's Diner. Now, Cat's Diner has been there since...
Cat's Diner.
Cat's Diner has been there since 1888. It's an old Jewish diner, pastrami and rye.
Yep.
Everybody that's been anybody...
This is the sandwich.
Yeah. Everybody that has been anybody has ever been there. So it's an old-fashioned place. There's old neon everywhere. They don't want to change it that much. There's pictures all around the walls of every celebrity since the early... 1900s, whatever it is, all there. And the scene from When Harry Met Sally, when she was pretending to have an orgasm, that was there. And there lots of other things have been filmed there. I had their main thing, which was pastrami on rye. And it is this sandwich, which is, God.
It was massive.
Two fists together. That's all your meat and the cheese and the spices and this bread. And $24. Just absolutely fantastic. Watch them with the beard. Just absolutely brilliant. I mean, they slow cook the pastrami, really, really slow there. Its place is packed out like mad. There was like a queue. We arrived 1:45, and there must have been a queue of 100. And you come in, and we got chatting to some guys in the queue as we went in. But it didn't take that long to get in. We got a seat, and away we went. Packed out. Just unbelievable. Really, really good place. Okay. Some of the bad stuff. We did have fun. We went to a couple of shows. We went to Stomp, which was a thing.
Okay.
If you know what the Blue Man Group is, it's a rhythm, Blue Man, the old Apple advert. Well, Stomp is the same thing, but they come out on stage and they start to brush. One guy comes out as if he's a caretaker, brushing the floor. And then another guy comes out and another girl comes out and they brush. And they brush to rhythm and they make music with brushes.
Like rudimentary things. Buckets.
Bins.
Yeah.
Shopping carts, suitcases, and it was brilliant. It was funny. It was really, really good, and that was fun. Apart from, and they weren't just as bad, but the next one was unbelievable and made me angry. So I had the Stomp tickets booked before we went, and then we went to the thing in the middle of Times Square is this ticket thing, last minute tickets you can buy for a show. Thought, you know what? We'll go to take another show, and we went to see Jersey Boys. Which is which is a brilliant thing. Really musical night. Really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Jersey Boys, and it's like stepping back 2 years. We get to the door. Mask on now, sir. Not even this is mask only. Yep. Mask on now. We need to see your pass. We get down to the theater. We get a drink. We go in. They come up and these carry these big boards up. Masks on between sips. They hold these signs up. They tap me on the shoulder. Sir, sir, you need your mask on.
Oh, boy.
I had a drink, and I had done this here, and I was about to go to another one, and I didn't. I only had them drink down about 5 seconds, and they were on to me. And it was like, I get it. They've just got reopened, and they, you know, they're all this stuff. But we're sitting in box seats, you know, second row back, best seats in the house, and the cast are spitting over us with their singing and all their dancing, and you can see it. I go, fucking hell, you fucking, I'm going to use a word that shouldn't, Nazis. Just, they were enjoying the par trip. It was like, ah.
It was, well, and so for those who don't understand, New York is still very, like, hit and miss with, it was some pretty severe lockdown mentality.
Well, the majority of all of New York, it's not there. It's not a thing.
Right.
Not a thing. But this was extreme.
Yeah.
This was ultra extreme, and it really pissed me off. I get it.
The ground is gears.
I get it. That was bad. The weather, we had one good day. The rest was pretty shitty. It was worse than back home. The weather, it was really, really bad. That was kind of crap. Times Square is a dirty hole.
Yes, it is.
It's a dirty, dirty hole, but it's interesting to see. The smell this time in New York, the smell of hash everywhere, every 50 feet, you got a whiff of someone smoking hash. Not that, you know, I'm not a hash. I've had hash half a dozen times in my life, you know, and...
When you say hash, are you talking marijuana or are you talking...
Yeah, marijuana.
Okay.
Marijuana. Everywhere you go, the smell of marijuana, everywhere. In fact, they have like taco trucks on the side of the road, and we caused two of them that were selling hash and edibles and magic mushrooms. And it's just everywhere. Yep.
Boomer was asking, did you see the pot trucks?
Everywhere. Everywhere. And we guys who would do the card tricks, well, instead of the card tricks, they were selling bags of hash on the side of the street.
Right.
Now, I know it's not completely illegal, but it's no longer illegal to have quite a bit of it. But everywhere, you just couldn't avoid the whiff everywhere you went to. So that was that. Okay, the final thing I'll say, which I really, really enjoyed, and this'll maybe not go down well with everybody, but you know me by now. We went to Trump Tower. I've been in Trump Tower many, many moons ago, before Trump was a thing. And we went in, and you go into it, and it's beautiful, and it's gold, and the big marble everywhere, and we went up the escalator that he had came down. We came down to the one that he was on. Wow. But there's a Starbucks on top, and we got Starbucks years and years and years ago. So I thought, well, look, when we're here, I was down in getting my photograph taken with the big bull in Wall Street. And I thought, look, let's go into Trump Tower. And we went into the bar in Trump Tower, and we sat in the corner of the bar. And one of the bars in the hotel is now all photographs and of Trump in office, and lots of memorabilia and lots of really stuff. And we sat at the bar and we chatted to the barman, an elderly gentleman, and had this beautiful whiskey with a really, really big, massive ice cube, which I bought, which I had to get the most when I came home. Big, big, massive square ice cube. And it was lovely. And there was a guy in there, and it came in with a couple, or there was four people came in, and he was in a blue suit, red tie, white shirt. And he was at a conference with the young conservatives or whatever it was. And we got chatting at the bar. And he said, where are you from? And blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, Northern Ireland. She's, you know, the reach is everywhere. He says, yeah, this is a safe place in here. And they went off and had a laugh. We had a chat for a while. And this other guy sat down and chatted to him. And I said, yeah, you're in here. He says, yeah, this is a great place. We love it here. He says, I'm meeting my mate here who's a real, like, a blue pill guy. And we're having a meeting here. And I'm hoping this will make him uncomfortable.
too funny.
But it was just it was great. So I'm wearing my 45 t-shirt. There's a shop downstairs. He has an ice cream parlor, Trump ice cream, which I took photographs of.
I'm pretty sure he has everything that he sells. I mean, you know, I've heard he has steaks, the whole nine yards. So.
Yeah. Trump steaks, well, that was a thing. But yeah, look, you know what? It's a beautiful hotel, beautiful place, nice drinks, nice atmosphere. And I got a kick out of it again. So again, for me, that was a highlight. But for me, the Uber drivers, the bar people, it amazed me how many of those Uber drivers that we had, and we spent a fucking fortune with Uber because we wouldn't go into the, right. didn't want to go into the subway. And even the girl in the Hard Rock Cafe where we had our cocktail nights every night. Every night we finished between 4 and 6-ish with lots of cocktails. When you got chatting to them, they said how much a mess New York is in. Yeah. And they firmly blame that mess on a certain side of the community. And how many of them are closet conservatives that can't say it out loud. And that many of the taxi drivers that we said, like, you know, we need more law and order. We need more police. We need, you know, people that, you know, this crazy now, and it was better, and now it's crap, and it's too soft. And I just thought that was really, really interesting. So,
yeah.
So, look, we had a great time. Hope I didn't upset anybody too much on shouting at the TV too much.
But I think we're fine.
Yeah, I'm fine. So I've got my 45 t-shirt on. Loves it. I had... Oh, the final thing. Underneath our hotel, just round the corner, 50 feet to Times Square, is this shop. Now, there's the M&M store. M&Ms are acceptable. Okay? But on our corner was a certain shop. It was the Hershey shop. So, oh, Hershey's. Let's go into the Hershey shop. And we didn't go in straight away. We went on one of the last nights. So, you know, let's pick up some Hershey's chocolates. And we brought some Hershey's chocolates. And as we... Don't forget your free samples. And as we come out of the door, we were handed lots of these little ones, these little Hershey's chocolates. Right. And we went round to our hotel room and we thought, ooh, goody, goody, goody. We've got some chocolate tech. We'll sit in the bed. We're going to watch Fox News. Oh, yeah, by the way, Fox News is just around the corner. I went up and waved at them in the window. Anyway, I am lost. And this stuff here, this Hershey's chocolate, by the way, when I was in Trump Tower, where is it? I bought some proper chocolate. I got Trump Gold Bar chocolate. Yeah, it's all right. But this stuff here, this is Satan's vomit.
No, when you, Robin.
Yes.
We give Hershey's chocolate away at Halloween. That should tell you everything. That should tell you everything. It's the giveaway chocolate.
You bite into it, and it tastes a little bit like chocolate, and then it gets this really acidic, horrible taste. Is this what you were brought up on this stuff? This is worse than beans.
We're brought up on Hershey's chocolate. Okay. Let's take a step back. Get off the ledge. Come off the ledge, because Hershey's chocolate at one time was a premier chocolate. Cadbury is an excellent chocolate. Absolutely.
Even in America, your Cadbury chocolate isn't good enough.
See's candy, Godiva chocolate, those are proper good chocolate. Hershey's, yeah, I would have totally told you to avoid going to the Hershey store.
Well, Hershey's is still better than some of that Dollar General, Dollar Store. Generic
also, yeah, let's not forget Robin did buy bacon chocolate, generic bacon chocolate in Florida.
That tasted like chocolate. You know, it's like your commercials on TV. Okay? You mean, weirdly, the difference between UK TV and American TV is every other TV is commercial in America is about some wonder pill or some protein pill. And they get halfway through the advert, and then the next half of the advert is, do not take this. You may.
Oh, yeah. Side effects. That's my favorite thing.
We don't. That doesn't happen in the UK at all. Just doesn't. It's just like, my God, I'm not taking that. But you must do it anyway. It's just like, this may call bile cancer. Check with your doctor first. It's fucking crazy. My favorite,
just real quickly on those commercials, just to totally side check us into this. But so they will have the commercial, and like, I'll just throw out a name that I just recently heard, Tremfya. If you're allergic to Tremfya, don't take Tremfya.
Right. Exactly.
How the fuck do you know if you're allergic to Tremfya? It's like, what? So, yeah. No, I totally understand.
Anyway, I do love America. I would live in America. I don't think Judith would. That's the problem. I mean, I would definitely go to Florida and stay there. And in fact, I would suggest that even a game over there. So, look, let's just in a couple of years' time, let's live there through the winter and come back for 3 or 4 months home. And
yeah, you could be a snowbird.
Do that.
That's what they call. Absolutely. They call snowbirds. They come down from the north.
I'll stay for the. I'll keep working on her. I love it. I love New York. Right. It's a bunch of, to use the term, it's a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
So, it very much is a melting pot, for sure.
Yeah. So
All right. Okay, so let's get into it. Let's get into games. I love the stories, the life stuff, but I think people are here to hear us talk about video game stuff. So let's talk about some video game stuff.
Okay.
I
mean, okay.
No, maybe.
Said if you're gonna play the Game Boy, you gotta learn to play it right.
All right.
I'm just looking at the WhatsApp chat. What do you think about Chappelle being attacked on stage, Boomer? That was kind of crazy. Yeah, I know that guy had a gun knife in his bag and
He got his ass handed to him. So there's that. Security and Chappelle did a number on him. There was images of him getting taken into an ambulance.
Okay.
After being arrested
and not being charged. That's all right. That's okay. I'm happy with that. I've seen the pump trucks. Yes. Okay. All right. So there you go. That's it.
All right. All right.
Games.
Yes. Kim, let's start with you.
Hold on, I'm up on the monthly games. I don't know. I haven't really played a whole lot of different things. I mean, Puzzle Quest, Forza Horizon 5. There's a couple of new ones, kind of. I'm gonna get this one out of the way because the only reason I played it was for the MS reward points, and that's Paw Patrol because they have a $500 point deal for playing one of the top 10 games, and it's one of them.
Yep.
And it's easy achievements. So I played Paw Patrol.
I watched the cartoon religiously with my son.
Oh,
so
God, I'm sorry.
I know. I think the other one is Bluey that's on this house a lot, I happen to like.
I like Bluey.
Paw Patrol. Jasmine and I played Paw Patrol. That was good fun.
I got two achievements in like 15 minutes, so that got me my 500 Microsoft points, so I'm okay with that. And I started out playing Slime Rancher for kind of the same thing, for easy achievements, because I had to get like three achievements in order to finish one out, and I kind of went back to it, because I didn't really think I'd like it, but it's kind of growing on me a little. And basically what Slime Rancher is you're on, well, I don't know if it's the moon, but you're on some planet. And anyway, you've got to collect all these different little slime monsters and, they call them plorts. I'm pretty sure it's just slime shit. I don't know. Anyway, and you can sit on the slime market and make money with it. All right. So that's kind of what I'm doing. They've got little pink slimes and little blue, like, rock slimes. And they've got
So you're basically like a slaver of slime.
Pretty much, yes.
Okay.
Yes. They've got little slimes that look like tabby cats, and you feed them chickens and fruit and vegetables and that sort of thing. And I screwed up, though, last night. Was it last night? Or yesterday? Anyway, I was playing it yesterday, and I screwed up because I apparently mixed one slime with another and then another one, and I went too many times, and I made a tar, which is the scariest frickin' slime monster you could ever imagine. And you can't kill the... Well, you can kill the fucking thing, but I couldn't figure out how. And I had one section that all it was these damn tar things, and they fucking killed me. So, yeah, words of wise, you're playing Slime Rancher. Don't mix up your slimes, because that can end horrifyingly. So, okay. I mean, for a game that, you know...
It's in the style of that one about the fox. What do you call the foxy one? The one that we played, you played quite a bit, Kim.
Oh, a tunic?
No, before that, fox that jumped around. It was a little platformer.
Super Lucky's Tale.
Yeah, it's in that. It looks like that.
Yeah.
It's that sort of style of graphic.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a kind of a, I don't know if you would call it relaxing sort of thing, because, I mean, you work your little slime ranch collecting slimes and, like I said, collecting their shit, because that's what I'm calling it, and then selling it. And you've got people that get a hold of you, and they have various things they want you to do. Like, one guy wanted, like, two roosters and three chickens and some pink slime or something. So, and then they pay you off with money and whatever. So, I mean, it's good if you want to kill 15 minutes, because that's kind of what I've been using it for. So, yeah, that's pretty much what I've been doing this week. So.
Okay, fair enough. Robin, why don't we turn to you next?
Okay. All right. I'm going to talk about Assetto Corso Competizione first, because I've came back and I've had a real desire to play this game again, and it really wants me to...
By the way, Assetto Corso Competizione translates in English to car porn.
It is.
Okay.
Okay, so it's very a very specific type of saloon car racing, It is very, the view that's on the screen right now is sort of the chase cam that we would do a lot in Forza Horizon, but pretty much the way you play this game is in cockpit cam, locked in.
Right.
Yeah, very serious, very semi.
You're inside your cock cage.
I'm in my cock cage, very, very semi. I've been playing single player. I haven't endured to go on multiplayer yet. And just getting to get to grips with it. It is very, very visceral. When you play a race, so I'm going through the online championship. When you play a race, there is a 5-minute practice, 2 5-minute qualifyings. Then there's generally 2 20-minute races. And in the basic mode that I'm in right now, you have to do at least 1 pit stop and have a driver change, and even, you know, and no speeding in the pit lane. You can get disqualified very, very quickly for speeding in the pit lane.
I have a question.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Sorry, I have a question. So you have to have a driver change.
No, it happens automatically.
But I mean, does it actually have any impact on the game at all, or is it just making you pit to do the driver change to take the time up?
Well, no, you do a 30-minute pit stop for tires. And then later on, as it gets more advanced, you do tires, fuel. And if you're playing it in multiplayer if you and I or Kim and I were playing it, you literally can do a
driver change.
Driver change, longer races. When you finish a full race of this, that's your practice qualifying, 2 20-minute races, you are exhausted mentally. Absolutely. Because it is, you cannot just take your eye off the ball for a second in this game. Handling is very, very, they say, very, very realistic, and it kind of feels it. It's
That to me is exhausting. And I mean, it's good and it's bad, because any race game I play, I typically there's a level of tension, right? You're trying not to screw up. You're trying to stay focused. So if you're telling me it's a 20-minute race for qualifying and you're like on the edge the entire time, it doesn't seem terribly relaxing to me.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That was my fear, by the way, with Flight Simulator, is that these long-ass flights, I'm never going to do them because I don't want to sit behind, you know, the cockpit, you know, wheel and just be flying, just having to pay attention just for the off chance something goes wrong. Not to mention that would just be boring as hell.
Well, you know. Charlie has my rig up in his room, and he plays a lot of these sorts of things now and getting pretty good at it. I was down in the little house in Belfast, our other house where Joshua is, and I was up in his room yesterday, and I see he's bought himself a wheel and a rig sitting in the corner of the room now as well. So I'd said it before, I'm very tempted to remove the pool table and build a proper rig there again, but at the moment, I'll keep going with this. I know Forza is coming, the full sim one again, but I think this here is a different level. And this, if I was going this route, it would be a full PC job. But it's ticking my racing itch, and I've been thoroughly enjoying it. And the other thing that I've been playing is Lego.
I see the Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga.
Lego Star Wars. I bought it just before we went away, and I played through.
Is this all the movies? Is it all the movies?
Yeah, all of them. So as you can imagine, it is the full blown Lego type thing with the humor and all other bits and pieces in it, and that is there, and it's massive. I played through A New Hope before I went away. Today I was playing The Empire Strikes Back, and it's really good, as you would expect. It has it all. It has some nice new gameplay features. I love the flying stuff when you're flying. I did some of the stuff for the Millennium Falcon today, where he goes through the asteroid belt and down into the monster. The Hoth snow level today, which was really kind of cool. It's fabulous, as you would expect, and it's probably the best Lego Star Wars, maybe the one of the best Star Wars games ever, because it does follow the story very, very well. Yes, they gamify parts in the Lego stuff in it, but absolutely wonderful. and I'm sure the kids will love it as we go along. So it's not much to say. It says everything you'd expect about a Lego game, running right on the X. It looks fab. I was playing it inside today on a standard Xbox One, and it still looks great.
Looks great.
I mean, how challenging is it?
Right. So I'm curious. I'm trying to remember. So is this, did they remaster some of the previous games and bring them along to this, or is this just all new?
All new. So you could rush through it and do the sort of the main storyline, or there's lots of side missions and all other stuff there as well you can do with it. So, but really good characters, funny, jokes for adults, jokes for kids, great gameplay as always, and as much collectibles as you could want. It's a massive, absolutely massive game. So if you're a Lego fan and you're don't want this, really, really good. Really good.
All right, all right.
So Halo, which we'll touch on.
Yeah. Well, we can touch on it right now. So we played some Halo on Wednesday. You jumped in to the fray, and we got in some great matches again. Wednesdays to me are always just a joy. I carve out an extra long lunch hour, and we play away. And so it was kind of funny because I was getting ready to finish, and you jumped on, and I'm like, oh, fine. All right, fine. Let's play a match. And then we played I think we planned on playing like three or four matches, and we did well. Mm-hmm. We did really well. So very much enjoying Halo multiplayer. We got to experience, I think, one of the new maps.
That was a foresty one with lots of verticality and stuff in it.
That to me is still a tough map to kind of wrap my head around, only because there are so many different pathways above and below you. And I think I jumped off the map at one point because I thought I was jumping down to be able to sneak up behind one of our enemy, and that was not the case.
But for me, a good match, Greg, is when it comes down to, we're at 48, they're at 47, and the 50 to the win, and you get it by one frag. You know, that's kind of cool stuff.
Yeah, win or lose on those matches, I love those kind where you feel like we could do this,
and we seem to come out more on top than underneath. So, good fun.
You know, I'm 50-50 on that. I don't know if I like being on top or on the bottom, but I mean,
John Mouse was there, which was nice.
And yes, Martin, John Mouse was there.
And was Mark? Mark was there.
Yeah, Martin was there. Yeah. Mark was there. Yourself was there. So it was good.
Good
time. Good I did do some additional Last Spartan Standing. So there was a free event going on with Halo Season 2. They had launched out. So they have the main season passes, but then they do these event passes, which are, typically speaking, they're free. You know, they're only like 10 levels long. And so you can get some additional stuff just for free for doing them. So they had one that was kind of tied to Last Spartan Standing. So I jumped in. I completed that. And I came in second on one of my matches, the closest I've gotten to winning one of those Last Spartan Standing matches. What I decided is, so in Last Spartan Standing, to kind of understand how it works. So, you know, there's 12 players loaded into the map. It is a very large map built around kind of like a crashed ship, is the best way to explain it. And you get 5 lives. So once you die, you're revived and you come back into the map. And so you have, you know, these 5 respawns. Once you are done with your respawns, the match is over for you. You can stay and watch the rest of the match, kind of bouncing between the different players that are in it, similar to what you would in other battle, battle royale games. Or you can exit. It says that if you exit, the you know, your experience, blah blah blah, will be tracked, but I don't think that's the case. So I have started to just watch those matches to the end so I get that end experience screen, because I have not seen that when I've exited the match before it's been done. That being said, when you are playing, for every kill or assist you get, and so you do get points for an assist, even though it doesn't really help you. But let's say you're shooting a character and somebody else comes up and kills that character. You'll get like 50 points for having put a few bullets into him to take their health down. you accumulate points, and your first one is 100 points, and then it's, I think, 300 points, and then it jumps to 600 or 650, something like that. But every time you get to this next level, you can level up your weapons. So you start off with the main pistol, and then the there's an electro pistol. I can't remember the name of it. And once you level up your weapons that first time, it changes the pistol into the brute shotgun. And then if you level up again, it changes the electro pistol into a M40 machine gun. And so, you know, that's kind of the progression. What I found is I like the pistol better than I like the brute shotgun. And so once I hit 100 points, instead of leveling myself up right away, I just wait. I just keep playing, get another kill, and start accumulating the points. And then once I get to that level two, then I just upgrade twice in succession, and I suddenly have the M40, and I feel much better about things.
Camper?
Not a camper. It's just you're continuing to play, but you're not upgrading yourself to the brute shotgun right away. You're kind of bypassing that forced weapon choice, because I just don't like the brute shotgun. But apparently it has quite a bit of range. Which I guess is a good thing. But anyway, so Last Spartan Standing, it is fun. It is very different from the other Halo modes. You can't be in a party and play it for obvious reasons. I think we talked about this last week, but you know, we were in a big party of people, and I was like, oh, let's play Last Spartan Standing. And it was like, your team, you can't be in a party in Halo and go into Last Spartan Standing. So they purposely break you up, and then you would be put into separate games. You would never play with your friend in a game of Last Spartan Standing unless you did a custom game. But yeah, so it's good. Okay. That's all I have to say about that. It's all good. Right. Trek to Yumi. So I have continued playing this. This is the Japanese samurai game. It has very much this old Japanese samurai movie vibe to it. Like, there's a film grain. It's black and white. It's all in language, and they have subtitles. So it just feels kind of authentic to the kind of the whole scene that they're trying to portray.
Wow.
I really like this game. I really like this game. The combat is probably its biggest weakness. Because it is very much a parry system, timing, you know, kind of like Elden Ring. Think Elden Ring, where you have to time your parry properly. If you're trying to button mash your way through it, you're going to get killed. It's simple in that there's really only two really kind of, you know, fast attack or strong attack buttons, and then the parry is on the bumper. There's no way to customize the controls. I wish there was, because I would probably take the parry off the bumper and put it on an actual button. You know, needless to say, it's frustrating for me at first because there's a bit of sponginess to this, in particular, the parrying system.
In your Elite controller, can you not customize the buttons?
Now, that I could do, and I just haven't. I've been lazy about that. I haven't done that, but I absolutely could do that, and that might be a good solution,
camper,
to be honest.
Camper and lazy, okay.
Yes, camper and lazy. But what I will say is, as you play the game more, you do get more accustomed to kind of that sponginess to the parry system, and so I found myself being better with it, and it's a very simple tale. It's a tale of a samurai whose village is attacked. You have a loved one that, you know, you're you're going to defend. I just really dig the vibe of this game. It's not overly complicated. The enemies themselves, you know, you face different variations of them, but they're still the core. The standard soldier is going to be the same across each different variation. You kind of learn their attacks.
I bet you there was a developers meeting, that one of the developers meetings, that one part of that development team was very, very pissed off, and another one said the team went, wow. That when they went, here, let's do this in black and white. Let's switch this to black and white right now. Because it really looks fabulous, but I can imagine it would also look fabulous in full color too. But that that's a brave move to do that, because it looks so atmospheric. It looks gorgeous.
That's probably the best descriptor to this game, Robin, is it is 100% atmospheric. It just oozes within the game and in a very positive way. Mm. So I cannot, I can't recommend it enough. I really have been enjoying it. Again, it may be a bit frustrating to you at first, but stick with it.
Is it on Game Pass?
It is on Game Pass.
There you go,
is on Game Pass. So there you go. And then last game to talk about real quickly is we're talking about Microsoft Reward Point games. I fired up Tunic for that very same reason, and I decided I was going to play a little bit of it, just to play it because I never really played it when it came out, and I quickly determined this is a game not for me, and not in a bad way, because it's a really good game. I like the mechanics of it. I mean, it's all very straightforward. It's very Zelda-like to me, kind of the old school Zelda, I should say. Mm-hmm. But that's never been a game I've really enjoyed. There's just something about it that doesn't kind of click for me. And this is a big game. It's a small big game.
Right.
So I just said, I'm not going to dump the time into this game. But I enjoyed what little of it I played. I could see why a lot of people really do like it.
I just don't have enough time to play everything.
Yeah. And that's my thing is unless I'm going to devote a ton of time to this, because there's a lot you have to remember. And there's the whole map system, which the map system's interesting. Because the map, or I shouldn't say map system, it's the guide.
Right.
So there's a game manual for this that you discover pages of the game manual as you're playing Tunic.
Mm-hmm.
And so you will learn new things as you find the more game pages in the game world. And so it makes the game manual, for once, actually an important thing to read. Some of it you'll be getting and you'll be like, oh, yeah, I know that. I already figured that out.
Right.
But there's other stuff that will come up that is like, oh, okay, didn't know that. And so it just starts opening up different things to you. It's interesting. It plays very well. It definitely has a bit of that Dark Souls vibe to it of, you die, your experience kind of gets left behind. You have to come back to it. But yeah, I'm not going to invest the time in it. I'm just not.
It's understandable. And I'm like you with Yumi and saying the combat was kind of spongy. That's kind of the way it is with this too, because I've noticed times when I go to fight something and swing my sword at it, it seems like I'm just a little bit behind. And then the guy kills me and, well, there I am. I've got to go back and, go again. So.
Okay.
But it was enjoyable for me, and I've got a gameplay thing, or a game guide, that I actually Googled and found to make it just a little bit easier, because trying to find all that crap is so difficult.
Yeah.
So, Monday.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that does it for the games. Robin, do we actually have a video game quiz from your side of it?
Yeah, I suppose we might just do that.
Okay.
For the hell of it.
Questioningly?
Yeah.
All right,
I think
now,
we should do.
Get set. Get away from the windows. Now, look. Good. It's time for the quiz. Yeah, you know what? Oh, too bad.
It's been a long time since we've done anything like this, and I thought, well, why not? So we're going to pull a few questions from a video game history, a few easy questions, and maybe a hard question. So I'm just going to ask you the questions. You can join in the chat if you just want to. Here we go.
Okay.
So straight in there. The United States Air Force used what gaming console to create a cluster supercomputer? Okay.
Are we supposed to chime in? Or
I don't know. Yeah.
PlayStation 3.
Okay. PlayStation 3 is correct. Kim, did you know that?
Did not know that.
Oh, I don't know that. Shatner, I don't know. I'm not asking this in the right way. We've got to work out what we're going to do here. Okay. how we do this. But I think we should bring these back. What popular dining franchise is the founder of Atari also responsible for? What popular dining franchise is the founder of Atari also responsible for? Do any of you know it? What popular dining franchise is the founder of Atari also responsible for?
Okay, dining franchise. So I'm thinking quick service restaurant.
Right.
Anybody in the chat? What popular dining franchise is the founder of Atari responsible for?
Now, can I ask for a hint clue from you, Robin? Is it popular in the U.S. only, or is it international?
U.S. only.
Martin says Taco Bell.
Yeah, he's close. Yeah. No cigar. Okay, you still know. It's actually Chuck E. Cheese.
That makes a lot of sense in a weird way.
Yeah. Chuck E. Cheese. Okay.
I was just talking about Chuck E. Cheese about a week and a half ago.
There you go.
Ironically, I thought they were all gone. We have a Chuck E. Cheese in a neighboring town.
Huh.
Yeah, I kind of want to go there just to relive my childhood and crappy pizza.
Am I the only idiot that's never been to Chuck E. Cheese? Because I've never been to Chuck E. Cheese.
Actually, you're probably smart for never having gone to Chuck E. Cheese.
Right?
The pizza's not good, I'll tell you that right now.
Alrighty.
At least they have beer. That's the important thing.
There you go.
Okay. Okay. What's the name of the first video game ever to be played in space?
I'm going to say it's not Pong.
I was going to say Pong.
No. No. It was played, in the International Space Station, I believe.
I hope it was Asteroids.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Damn it. Don't know. Does anybody in the chat know? I know there's a bit of a lag here. Is it Chuck E. Cheese? Martin got that right. The first game we played in outer space was not Tetris. No, it was StarCraft, a game that we never played.
Oh, okay.
Okay. What United States president was asked and declined to voice the game president character in Fallout 3?
I'm going to say Obama.
Jimmy Carter.
No. No.
George Bush?
No, it was Bill. Bill was asked and declined to pay the president. I'm amazed that he didn't actually do that. So, geez, I'm fucking crap at this.
I got one.
Well, Martin's at Trump, so,
Okay. And finally, the final question we have tonight is, one that you might get here.
Maybe. We're lucky.
What is the more game that you might actually get? okay. What is the name of the siren character in Borderlands?
I don't know. Kim, you should know this.
I know, right? It's right here, too.
Good. Trump. Not Trump. No.
What was her name? Oh, shit.
Not Tina.
No, it's not Tina. God, like I said, it's right here, because I can... Lilith!
Very good!
Lilith.
Nice. All right.
Excellent draw there.
Well done, Kim.
Very good. So that's one answer each. Greg, you win a week with Kim. Kim, you win a week with anybody else but Greg. So congratulations.
Okay.
Well done. And I think we'll continue with some of this gaming trivia every single week from here on.
All right. I also have a game for us to play.
Oh, good idea. Good idea.
Yeah.
Game to play. Game
now
to play and review. Okay.
Now, the two of you are each going to get one series of things, okay? So each of you are going to have your own separate question to answer and ask. Okay. Now, you play the role of a giant media publisher. And you have to buy it, fund it, or kill it with fire. Okay? You will have three choices. You have to categorize them.
This is complicated.
Which one would you buy? Which one would you fund? And which one would you kill with fire?
Can I marry fucker whatever date? No.
Basically, it's a take on that.
Okay.
But it's not limited to the same category. So, for instance, Kim, your first set of things you have to choose from.
Ooh, this is better than mine.
Thor Ragnarok, the movie.
Kill it.
Witcher on Netflix.
Oh boy.
Kill it.
And Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, let's just make it difficult. Why the fuck don't we?
Yeah, well, I didn't say it was going to be easy. So you have to buy one franchise. You have to fund one, as in it won't be yours to own, but you'll have part of it. And then you have to kill one off And I said, kill it with fire because I saw a spider earlier.
Oh, God. Damn it.
Do you want to start from the top or do you want to start from the bottom? Mm-hmm. Which do you feel more comfortable with, Kim? Do you want to be on the bottom first or on the top first?
Well, All right. Let's start from the bottom.
Okay. Who are you? Who's going to be killed with fire? Who are you just axing?
Oh, this is going to hurt, but I'm going to go with Thor.
Thor, Ragnarok movie. I did not see that coming.
I know.
Yep.
Thor, kill with fire. Okay. Yep. So then who out of the two, which are Netflix or Red Dead Redemption 2, which one are you buying and which one are you going to fund?
I'm going to buy Red Dead Redemption 2 and I'm going to fund Witcher.
Okay. Okay.
God, that was painful.
I thought Red Dead might be the buy. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure who would be the kill.
Right.
Because you do love Thor.
Yep.
Apparently not that much, though. All right, Robin.
Okay.
You have been approached and presented three different IP.
Okay.
Aliens Isolation, the video game. Aliens, the movie, and Aliens Colonial Marines, the video game.
Yeah, I knew that was coming up. That's what's running in the video.
which one are you buying? Which one are you funding? And which one are you going to kill with fire?
Kill with fire has to be Aliens Isolations. I'm going to buy the franchise movie Aliens because it'll make me lots of fucking money from 1979 onwards. And of course, I'm going to fund and throw some proper money behind Aliens Colonial Marines. That's easy.
Obviously,
it
makes
it. Easy for me.
All right. Okay. All right.
It's funny. I looked the other night to see if it was available to buy to play again.
Oh, how funny.
And it's not. It's not available to buy in the store. Sad. Very sad.
Well, there we go. That will be something I try to bring to the table for us also.
I like that.
Each week.
Good.
There you go. All right. We've got news. Let's talk about some news.
Here is the fucking news.
All right. We are not starting the news off with the news I think most people think we're going to start off with. First, we're going to start off with some positivity. Sony released some of their fiscal year fourth quarter results, and it definitely was a very positive result for them. So 2 million PS5 units were shipped. That brought their lifetime shipments to 19.3 million on the PlayStation 5. 70.5 million software units this quarter. 14.5 million first-party games this quarter. This is where it got interesting. The digital software ratio for Sony was 71% digital. Mm. So I think that further puts an exclamation point around this generation. I honestly could see this being the last hardware generation with disk drives.
You'll buy a disk drive separately as a separate piece of the hardware.
I could totally see that happening. Yeah. They have 106 million monthly active users and 47.4 million PlayStation Plus subscribers. This is also another interesting area for me. I think this is, again, why they decided to, kind of merge PS Now into all of their stuff and launching it out as PlayStation Plus moving forward. Because the PlayStation Now numbers were never great. And they're absent from this, which is interesting. They're not talking about it. And that's, I think, precisely why. They want to present a better image for their online subscription services. This accomplishes that need. So good stuff all the way around for Sony. April NPDs came out, and we'll just touch real quickly. Hardware units, Switch was number one. The Xbox Series consoles, number two. PlayStation 5, number three. Software units, Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga came in at number one. Then you had Elden Ring, MLB The Show, Kirby the Forgotten Land, Switch Sports, COD Vanguard. I cannot believe people are still buying Call of Duty. It just blows my mind. Horizon Forbidden West, Mario Kart 8, GT7 and in 10th spot, Pokemon Legends Arceus. So there you go. Okay. Now, Gotham Knights, upcoming game. I think a lot of people are kind of excited for it. I have been kind of anticipating it. They originally had announced this as a multi-generation game. It is no longer the case. They revealed that the game now will only be for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X, S, and PC. And that will arrive on October 25th. They also gave a quick kind of a demo. You saw a demo of the game. I was in two minds of what I saw in the demo. Some of it looked pretty good. I think the second half of it looked better than the first half. The first half just kind of looked last gen. Or previous games, I should say. Maybe not last gen, but previous games. I'm still kind of excited for this game. You don't play as Batman at all. You're playing as other characters within the Batman universe. We'll see. It's something to look forward to.
That's good.
Something to look forward to this year, because that leads us to our next and possibly biggest story of last week. And that is Starfield and Redfall, both Microsoft upcoming first-party exclusive games, have been delayed into the first half of 2023. This was, I think, a pretty big shock to pretty much everybody. I think some people thought Redfall might get pushed into next year, but I think everybody and their mother thought for sure Starfield was still coming this year. Mostly because we saw a lot of marketing stuff coming out on Starfield. They'd given it a date. Does this bum you guys out? Are you okay with it?
No, I have no problem with this at all.
Yeah, honestly. I know Matt in our WhatsApp group was kind of pissed off about this here, and a few people were annoyed at it, and I'm not worried. Sorry. Nope.
Like I said on WhatsApp the other day, I would rather wait and have it delayed than have it released and be a gigantic buggy mess that takes forever to patch and you can't play it and everything else. So, I mean, and these two games aren't anything that was really on my radar anyway. I mean, they may come out and I may absolutely love them, but as at the moment, they're not really anything. And like I said, I've got enough in my pile of shame to keep me well occupied.
It's the way of the world. I know people were attacking them, but why can they not get this organized? And that was announced pre-COVID. Well, fucking COVID happened. Working from home doesn't work with creative development teams. They need to be getting together. They really do. They really do need to get together with this stuff. So that's why this stuff has been delayed. So what?
It's not that long anyway. I mean, it's not really that big of a delay. I mean, it's not like it's going to be,
within a year.
2 years from now.
I'm of two minds on this. One, obviously, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed, I think, specifically about Starfield in particular, because I was very much looking forward to that.
Right.
But I do wonder, I wonder if the Bethesda of old, the Bethesda pre-Microsoft purchase, would have tried to crunch this and push it out. And I wonder if what we're seeing is actually a positive thing, in a weird way, in that now Microsoft is actually being able to give them the breathing space to say, you know what, let's delay this a little bit and do some further polish.
Historically, did they get their games out on time?
Some were delayed. I think the first, the first Elder Scrolls game, I think that got delayed. But they've been notorious for putting out some fairly buggy games. Like Fallout 4 came out, it was a bit of a buggy mess. Same thing with Fallout 3, as I recall.
Yep.
But they fixed them, even though it wasn't Bethesda that made it, but I mean, Fallout New Vegas also was a buggy mess when it first came out, but they patched it and they got it working right. Yep. And now it's thought of very fondly. And a lot of people pointed to Fallout 76. I think Fallout 76's biggest issue was it was just a game that people didn't want in the Fallout universe, as opposed to it being a problematic. But so, you know, I do kind of wonder if, you know, maybe this is, you know, the Microsoft, you know, we're not going to crunch mentality that is helping, if you will, on one hand, but also hurting on the other hand, because I think Bethesda probably would have tried to crunch and push this game and get it out on the date that they promised had they not had another parent company saying, you know what, hey, no, look, it's okay. And and this actually segues into, you know, as we start to think about June and the Microsoft, I'll also call it E3 event, and the Jeff Keighley E3 event, what kind of ramifications this will have on that. There's a part of me that in the back of my head that's wondering now if maybe Microsoft said, you know what, it's okay if you want to push out, because we actually have a few different games that we were thinking could hit fourth mm-hmm. quarter. And we don't need all of them to hit fourth quarter.
Right.
So of these, say, four games or five games, who needs some additional time? And maybe Bethesda raised their hand for both these games and said, you know what, we could use more time. I don't know this, you know, this is just me speculating in my own head, because I do know one of the things that Phil was talking about, Phil Spencer, not Phil Olson, was they wanted to have, you know, a cadence of putting out you know, one major title every quarter at that minimum. We know, at least the rumors are, we're getting the big Forza game, the you know, Forza 8 coming this holiday. I would think there would be something else. My thinking is shifting in that maybe that, you know, there's this Halo Battle Royale game that has been rumored about, and the name of the developer is escaping me right now, but, you know, it was supposed to have already launched out. They kind of, Certain Affinity is making it. That maybe that now gets launched out in Q4 as well. And it's almost like its own standalone, kind of like Call of Duty Warzone. It's going to be its own game, so to speak, even though it's tied to Halo Infinite. So it'll be really curious to see this show now. Obviously, all eyes are going to be on the show. I have to think Microsoft understands that with these two games leaving their second half of the year, they're going to have to do something to backfill that in. Maybe it's a Ubisoft Plus inclusion into Game Pass. Maybe it's something like that. But they've got to do something to kind of bring back the fans and make them feel like, okay, no, I still want to buy into this ecosystem and not wait. Because the risk we run right now, or I should say they run right now, is that people are going to say, well, the game I really was looking forward to is Starfield, and if it's not coming anytime soon, then maybe I'll just hold off on buying in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. And the last story, this is just one that it's on the ridiculous side. So good old Jim Ryan at PlayStation. You know, in the U.S., we have this leaked document that's talking about the Supreme Court possibly overturning the court ruling Roe versus Wade on abortion. So there's a lot of anxiety and uncertainty around what's going to happen there. Are they really overturning it? Are they not? So it is a big kerfuffle in the U.S. And Jim Ryan sent out a memo to the entire Sony PlayStation staff, basically saying, you know, we want to respect the differences of opinions on both sides of the issue. And you know, the email opened up that way and didn't really take a side on one way or the other. And honestly, I think that's fine. I didn't have an issue with kind of that. The interesting thing on this was he only spent about maybe a paragraph or so talking about that, and then went on to say, I wanted to include something lighthearted, and went on with like five paragraphs long talking about his cats and their birthdays and his dream of owning a dog someday.
Oh my God.
And so it was just, it was a really weird inclusion into a really, you know, a topic that has a lot of people on edge. But it was just weird to dedicate the majority of that email, that memo that went out, to his cat's birthdays and the desire to potentially own a dog. Instead, I think it could have just been a really short and concise one, maybe two paragraph email, and it would have gone over fine. But yeah, so I just wanted to bring this one to attention. I found it pretty darn funny. Yeah.
Mike, get me started here.
We're not going to go political on this. It was just to point out that cats and dogs, you know, are apparently a very important thing to bring forward.
Yeah, and killing babies isn't. Yeah. So.
No. All right. Anyway. Kim.
Yes.
New releases.
Already.
It's a huge list.
It's a gigantic list. New releases for May 15th through the 22nd are, Yumurangi Generation, that's what I'm saying there, for your Xbox Series X and S and Xbox One on May 17th. And I also believe it's on Game Pass, or will be. Vampire the Masquerade Swan Song for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, May 19th. And Dolmen for the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC on May 20th. And I also believe that one will be on Game Pass as well. So... there are your new releases for the next week.
All right. Excellent. Well, we're kind of getting towards the end of the show. Hey, if you want to hang out and play Halo, it's fun. I'm telling you now, we have a good time. come hang out Wednesday nights, right around 9 p.m. in the UK, right around 1 p.m. on the West Coast, and, you know, anywhere in between. We have a good time. We don't take ourselves seriously. We're out there.
I take it very seriously.
Well, yes, okay. Robin takes it very seriously. None of us. Nobody else does. We have a good time. So come join, have fun, and Kim, let's just start it off with you. Shout outs. Let's go.
Alrighty. Shout out to you guys. Chat. Shout out to you guys. It's always fun. Shout out to the chat. There we
say
go.
That three times fast.
Okay, Boomer's in there. Martin's been in there. Lord was in there. I don't think I've forgotten anyone, but I might have. Let me pull up my handy-dandy list here because I don't want to forget anyone. No, Lord, Martin, and Boomer. We're in the chat today, so but thank you guys for... Wait,
nice
what?
PlayStation person, isn't he?
So, yeah, thank you all for stopping by. Shout out to Mother Nature. It's kind of chilly and rainy today, but... hopefully she warms up soon. And everybody have a good week. And over to Robin.
Oh, thanks for having me back. Tonight, when I leave here, I'll be going out my new doors. I have all my old black doors are all away. The barn doors are gone. I've got windows and proper doors in here now. It's really good. All the built. So big upgrade to my office and the building around. Nice. Which is kind of cool.
You need to take some pictures.
Right.
Big shout out to Phil. Phil couldn't be here tonight because his family was taking him out to celebrate his 60th birthday. And happy birthday to Phil. Sorry we missed that earlier on. I'm sure you had a really, really good time with that. So happy birthday to you, Phil. And to Mark as well, who couldn't be here tonight because of his minor brain surgery. So, it'll be okay. Judith and her crew at underscore Love, Share and Foster on Instagram are taking over a page tomorrow, a really big personality, I don't know who it is, on Instagram, and they're controlling that page as part of fostering Fortnite, and they've been rapidly making posts over the last 3 or 4 days. So at underscore Love, Share and Foster is a very interesting thing over the next 24 hours, 48 hours. Please give them some support. That's taken off very, very well for them. Thanks for having me back. It's been too long. The last time I spoke to you is I was in a taxi on my way to JFK and got charged $154 for that.
Holy crap.
Yeah, because of time of day.
Yeah.
Anyway, good to be back. Thanks, America, for having me again. Hopefully I didn't ruin you too much. And Greg, take us home.
Robin, thank you for leaving. We appreciate it.
You have to remember, the first thing I did when I stepped off the plane and got out of the airport was phone you to tell you that the same part of the land again. We're touching the same part of soil once more.
You did. Did indeed. It was great to see you having fun. I was actually really thrilled for you and Judith to be able to get out and have some adult time away from the kiddos. Mm. Kudos to you. Also, Kim, kudos to you for taking pictures of your dad every time he mows the lawn now.
Cut the grass, don't smoke it.
I swear to God, it's running into Hank Hill. It was funny because the other night, it was like 8 o'clock at night, we're sitting there watching TV and whatnot, and all of a sudden he gets up and puts his hat on, and I'm like grinning, and he's like, what? I said, I know what you're doing. I said, you're going to go out and mow the yard. Well, the dandelions. So, yeah, apparently the dandelions were mocking him, so he felt the need to mow the lawn at 8 o'clock at night.
Okay. I might be mowing my lawn after this now. I'm feeling inspired.
Right?
Shout out to everybody in the chat listening to the show. If you're not in the chat and you're just listening to it on Rewind, awesome. Thank you for being part of the community.
Thank you, Fraser.
Yes. Thank you, Fraser. Thank you, Phil, for being on the show, even though you weren't on the show. And happy birthday. Sorry we missed that. I feel actually pretty horrible about that. 70 is not an easy age to take on. I know Robin said 60, but we know the truth.
Okay.
So, you know, enjoy it.
Birthday was earlier?
Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just Robin giving him a birthday to give him a birthday.
Right. Yep. Phil's birthday is in February, so.
Not the Phil we had on the show today, Kim. No. That's the important thing. Phil on the show, his birthday was today.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, my bad.
And on a somber note, just, you know, I saw the horrific news from Buffalo this afternoon. Yeah. People, we got to learn just to forgive, forget, move on, love one another, enjoy life. You can't hold grudges. You just can't leave an angry life.
Life's
not
too short for that.
Exactly. So hearts are out to those that are affected by that. That being said, let's wrap up the show, Robin. Thank you, everybody. Come back next week. We will have more insanity and fun to talk about.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.